with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brandon Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
Mabo, and he just dumps it off for a first down.
Rolls it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley. The legend of Josh Rosen.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State.
Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Trey Wallace, Chance Collins to my right, Brandon Johns in front of me. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville, hanging out with you. Going to get you to the drive, and then the drive's going to take you to overtime, and overtime's going to take you home as we get ready for a big weekend in Knoxville when it comes to college football, Chance.
Oh, yeah. Big Friday. Yeah. As always, Friday gang, we did make it through all the bleep. But we made it. We're here. It's not raining today.
Guess I was about to say that. There's actually sun out.
That is the biggest delight of the day for me.
There's
not
sun
raining.
Out.
It's sun out, and it's one step closer to a outstanding college football weekend.
I walked outside my place this morning around 7:30.
Yep.
And it was getting there. Like, oh wait a minute, that's not clouds. That's,
nope.
That's sun. So I took it, and
Hallelujah.
I was excited. It's been a long week.
Hallelujah.
It's been a long week up here. I'm excited about college football this weekend. I'm also excited because we're getting closer. And the only reason I say this because the movie's coming out. We're getting closer to Creed 2 coming out.
Creed 2 next week.
Yeah, I'm excited. All the Thanksgiving movies. I love.
Oh yeah, Creed 2.
Right around Thanksgiving.
The soundtrack's out. Mike Will made it. It's a good soundtrack.
Mike Will made it. Are they going to have that DMX song that keep running in the trailer?
I'm not sure, probably. I haven't listened to it
DMX
yet.
DMX song came out like a year 2000.
I just know that it was like trending that the Creed 2 soundtrack was out.
I have to look that up during
and
a break.
As the kids say, is lit.
I'm excited, then. No, that's going to be good. This weekend in college football, Christopher Smith from My Bookie will join us at 1:30. We'll break down all the lines and betting odds this weekend. We'll get Christopher's advice on. There's a couple games in there that I need some talking to about.
Need some clarity.
Especially this Notre Dame-Syracuse game. I'm all over the board in my head.
I think Syracuse might cover on that one. Take the points.
Yeah, I hate it. I don't know.
Dino Babers's got a good team.
He does. They're
Babers, Babers.
Yeah. We'll see. The primetime game on ABC this weekend. It's such a weird weekend. They're rolling with UCF for Cincinnati. Game day will be there tomorrow. Well, they're already down there. But game day will be there tomorrow.
Broadcasting from Orlando.
Yeah, so that's neat. Good for them, letting them experience that. We'll get into the Ed Oliver situation from last night on the sidelines with Major Applewhite. Post-game, Major Applewhite came out, and I think he clarified himself really well. And I think it's much ado about nothing. We'll call it Coatgate. In Houston last night. Also in Houston, right up Chance's alley. How the hell you get a guy off the team after 10 games into the season?
Mello.
Like, how do you?
Because he's old and because he can't play
they
anymore.
They pay him his money, though, right?
He doesn't want to be a role player. Yeah, they'll still owe him some money. Doesn't want to be a role player. Still feels like he's a starter, but his game is not at that level.
And somebody's got to pick him up off waivers, though.
Yeah, somebody will have to pick him up off waivers, and somebody will.
To pick up his contract. That's
yeah,
what I'm asking.
To pick up a contract.
Contracts are weird.
Yeah, correct. To pick up a contract, somebody to pick him up off waivers.
Because Elton Brand's thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if he gets picked up from a contract, we're not going to talk about this for a second. Then we'll talk about it later on. But I'm interested. He's owed like, you know, 18 mil, something
like
that.
It's like 14 mil. 14 mil. Yeah, I think it's 14 million.
So Houston would have to pay some of that, and then whoever picks him up will have to pick up mm-hmm. the rest. Okay, that
exactly.
makes sense. Yeah,
They'll pay the, you know, however much they owe right now, and then they'll pay the rest.
That was kind of bothering me. I couldn't figure out how much was actually he going to get taken paid and get being able to use. Yesterday, Dan Dockich from, if everybody knows who Dan Dockich is, he's a college basketball reporter. He used to be college basketball coach. He reported that Louisville's going to hire Brohm.
Mm-hmm.
And then now the trickle-down effect starts, where here's how I threw it out in the scenario. I threw out Brohm goes to Louisville. Luke Fickell, former guy at State, goes to Purdue.
Fickell, who's at Cincinnati right now?
Yes.
You think Luke he's going to take the Purdue job?
Goes to Purdue. Butch Jones back to Cincinnati.
Wow. I had posed that a couple weeks ago. Could he go back? Because there's a lot of rumors that he left people with a sour taste in their
he
mouth.
He did.
Especially the way he left. Players kind of felt like he lied to them or whatnot. So, I don't know. I mean, at one point, the year before Butch was fired, there was the talk out there that Butch was eyeing the Purdue job because Tom was – I mean, yeah, I'm sure that was his agent.
Crazy.
But trying to get him, you know, an extension and more money.
Right.
So would Purdue look at him? Louisville got their guy. They're happy. I still think it's a lateral move for Jeff Brohm just because how – where he had Purdue at this year. But I understand he wants to go back
home.
Yeah, he wants to go home. You know, he was office coordinator there. He played there also. He wants to be back in Louisville, and that's like, they got their Scott Frost. That's what they were. If he came available, they were going to go after him, and they've got their guy. It is going to be interesting to see who Purdue goes after.
Would it be like, you know, and I try to make this comparison a little bit, where you just have to chalk it up. You've done 2 years of Purdue. You've kind of built them up. But if you want to go home, you're just going to have to say, okay, I 2 years here, let's go back home, and I'll have to do this thing all over again. But at least it'll be at home, and I don't have to worry about another job the rest of my life if I do good enough.
Yeah.
Because at Purdue, my philosophy on Purdue is you can always do better than Purdue. Like if you do good at Purdue, then the Ohio State job opens up, per se, or Michigan, something like that. Okay, you're in the running there. If you go back home to Louisville, you can get Louisville to a spot where you're top 15 every year.
Uh-huh.
Fighting with Clemson, right?
Yeah, so you can.
The smart.
But still, it'll be tough there, too. Be tough at Purdue with Ohio State and Michigan. That conference is going to be tough. And I mean, it's going to be tough at Louisville, but you might have a little bit more of a puncher's chance.
Yeah. Brandon, let me ask you a question, Brandon. How long does it take for, in your opinion, as somebody who's played college football before and has been around, how long does it take if somebody comes in and tries to change your system up and change the way things are run, how long does it take to really buy into that person and also just not think all the crap that he's coming out of his mouth is just a bunch of baloney?
Well, first off, I mean, you got to win.
Yeah.
And if you win, then there's always going to be the older guys that are way more resistant to it. But if you're winning, if you're performing better than you were under the previous regime, then those guys kind of get tossed by the wayside. And it's like, yeah, well, we'd rather win than do it this way. So you got to win. That's the first thing.
How would you compare that with like Shai Tuttle and Congbo and Alexis Johnson, guys along the defensive line for Tennessee, to how Pruitt's using his freshman as defensive back? You know what I mean? Is that something where in their minds, okay, he's doing this for the best of the team, even though we want to see our boys out there?
Yeah. I mean, the guy came in and said, here, I'm here to win football games.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, like, if you play on a team, you want to win. Like,
winning
you love your friends,
everything.
But you'd rather win. Like, I had a bunch of friends that played. I had a bunch of friends that didn't play.
Right.
I would rather win the game than see my friends get out there and us beat.
Yeah, I understand that point. It's just coming from 5 years with a different regime and then coming in. You know, here's a crazy story. Last night I was also told about the walk-on tryouts. I was told that Tennessee was trying out a kicker.
Yeah.
And when he went out to the walk-on tryouts, he never kicked a field goal. They made him just run sprints the whole time.
Oh, yeah, that's the
– And he still didn't make the team.
Well, that's the first part. That's what
and
I was,
he was nailing like 60-yard field goals. Let's just kick field goals.
I mean, a lot of college coaches, I feel like, are arrogant enough to believe that they didn't miss anyone. So when it comes to like tryouts, I mean, it didn't affect me when I tried out. You know, I played defensive back, so it was basically the same stuff.
Right.
But I felt bad for the quarterbacks, and I felt bad for the kickers and punters. because they had to go through the entire workout that we did. Plus, after that, finally they let the quarterbacks throw, and they let one poor guy throw the ball like twice and told him to leave. And I was like, man, they just wore this guy out for an hour for nothing.
It's mental. It's mental stuff. A game that, and I appreciate it because that's something that folks need to really think about. A game that's in college football, it's off the radar chance that is still a big game because I think this could be either where Clay Helton has a job or he doesn't have a job after next week, and that's UCLA versus USC this weekend.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big-time matchup. I mean, strip away the records, that's a big rivalry.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I look forward to that one.
If he loses to Chip Kelly and how they've struggled this season in Chip Kelly's first year, you got to think it's absolute that Clay Helton is going to be fired. And he already gave the comment that he was told that, you know, he's coming back next year. So coaches always do that when they feel like –
he'll be around 15 years.
Yeah. Coaches always do that when they know that the writing's on the wall. I mean, he understands what the magnitude of this game is this weekend, but I'm with you. I mean, he loses that game, big rivalry. Chip Kelly coming into the conference, Chip Kelly coming into SoCal, and, you know, recruiting lines are drawn. So you can't lose this game, especially to UCLA team that's been struggling.
I had the opportunity.
You're already struggling yourself.
I was reading a story late last night, and it said, you know, back in the day that UCLA and USC coaches used to go to dinner all during the week before the matchup. Like, they had that kind of, you know, it was that kind of decorum. Like, it wasn't that bad. Like, so, I mean, these stories you hear from back in the day and how college coaching really worked will blow people's minds and how they do it now. So it's all very interesting to me. This weekend, very big game here in Knoxville, Missouri coming to town. Tennessee's got work to do. Tennessee's got work to do when it comes to passing. Look, passing defense, I think that having Trayvon and Bryce Thompson back there be very big for Tennessee. Micah Abernathy is playing up to a standard right now after getting hurt. You throw Nigel back there. I think Tennessee's secondary is good enough to shut down Drew Locke. But the most important thing to me is being able to stop Missouri over the middle. And if that's how they're going to beat the Tigers, Tennessee, I'm talking about here, they're going to have to. I mean, Missouri can run the ball. So that's the kicker as well. If Missouri can run the ball on Tennessee, that's going to cause problem for the Volunteers. This is one of those games where I have no idea.
And that's what they've done to him for the last couple of years is gash him up with the run. I mean, DeMario Crockett, we talked about him. Like, is he ever going to be off that team? It seems like he's like a 6-7 year senior at this point.
Yeah.
But covered him up here in Neyland a couple of years ago. So definitely got to key in on that run because, you know, the pass is already going to be in effect. I mean, Drew Locke's going to get his. You hope you can stop him, but you got to be able to – you can't let them gash you up.
I'm really interested to see how this game turns out when it comes to, and we're going to break all this down, but when it comes to, do you have a feeling Tennessee's going to come out and win by 7 to 10 points on Saturday, or is this something you think is going to go down to the wire, or do you just feel Tennessee doesn't have a shot? Like, everybody's riding high right now. 865.
Riding high.
546.
Friday.
8200. Call in. Get your opinion on this. Pretty cool thing. Kennesaw State's playing at SunTrust Park in Atlanta this weekend. That's kind of neat, playing on the baseball field. Hope they don't turn into type Raiders type deal. Back on the other side, Christopher Smith coming up at 1:30. We've got a lot to talk about. It's Optional. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville. I'm tingling right from my head to my toes. So help me. Take my mind. Don't let her memory torture me. It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. Thankful for my producer over there. I am. He could have mic cut me real quick. Could have put me on the air when I said something. Like, this is good.
This is Willie.
Yeah. Good old Willie. The 85 years old, my man, still played at Bridgestone in two months.
He's summing up how I'm feeling right now.
You just want risky?
Whiskey River, take my mind.
You just want to get drunk.
No. I'm depressed.
Hey, follow up.
Nothing to report.
Follow up.
Nothing to report.
No report.
Oh, really?
Whiskey River, take my mind.
So you're not going back down to Tuscaloosa this weekend?
Well, I wouldn't be going back down anyway, but nothing to report.
Damn.
All quiet.
I'm sorry, buddy.
On the Western Front.
Sorry, buddy. Hey, man, you shot your shot. I mean,
shoot or shoot, dude.
Yeah, I am proud of you. I am very, very proud of you.
It's still early, like
it's still early.
Yeah, there's still the clock is not.
Wait till she grows up, has a kid, then gets divorced. She'll call you.
Sorry, man. No, I just haven't said anything.
That's
Sam.
It's the good move,
right?
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Silence.
That
silence.
It's gone radio silence.
It's okay. Today's a great day. We got some new albums that were released today. Need to Breathe acoustic. Live version at the Ryman, and, well, that's it. I'm not talking about any other music. That was it.
What? Who was that?
You don't know who Need to Breathe is?
No, okay, do not.
You're on my list.
They're a good one. Outsiders.
He's on the list now.
Right. On the list. Sorry.
No, you're on the list.
Don't know who Need to Breathe is. Never heard of them.
It's a punk rock EDM band.
Okay. Gotcha.
Very, very punk rock.
Yeah. Not quite. Not quite.
Like Blink 182. You know?
I do love some Blink.
There you go. No, I know. It plays out that way. Blink. Hey, Saturday. We're going to give our predictions later. But kind of looking at where the line sits, do you kind of like where Tennessee's sitting when it comes to the game Saturday? When it comes
to line six?
Like it, yeah. I'm going to double check from another website as well besides my bookie. But right now it's sitting around, hovering around like five to six.
That's what I figured it'd be.
So let's see here. Yeah, it's six and a half kind of.
Yeah, 6.5.
Did you take Tennessee on that one?
I think Tennessee went straight up, so 100% I'm taking that.
Okay.
Yeah, actually I'm pretty confident that they're going to win out the rest of the way. I think they're riding this high, and they know that they can do it. I mean, they're not scared. I don't believe they're scared of Missouri and Drew Locke. They've gotten better each week.
Yeah, I agree.
Each week,
defense keeps getting better. That's
defense
the main
especially.
Thing. So they're working on it. They're getting there. Another
getting
line.
Turnovers.
Yeah, well, that's
couldn't
big
even
thing.
Do that last season. Couldn't get turnovers.
They're forcing and they're blocking field goals. That's all Shy Tuttle now is block kicks.
Mm-hmm.
Gets interesting to me. I look at other lines too. Alabama Citadel don't have a line. They don't have a line for Saturday, but if I find a line, I don't think Alabama will cover that spread. Whatever it would be, probably upper 50s. Florida versus
52, probably. That's all I guess.
If I had to guess right now, I'd say 41.5.
41.5.
Because I don't think, given that they play Auburn next week, I don't think the better like the handicappers are going to think Alabama's going to play their starters very long. God forbid you get a guy injured against Citadel.
Yeah. Before we talk to Christopher, I look at some of these lines this weekend. I'm like, damn, you got Arkansas is a 21.5 point underdog to Mississippi State. Seems kind of logical, I guess. They actually put a line out for Liberty versus Auburn. Liberty's a 28.5 point underdog to Auburn. Don't forget, Liberty last year went to Baylor and upset the Bears.
It did.
Don't forget. UMass.
Turner Gill and Liberty.
UMass is 41 point underdogs to Georgia. And my sleeper of the weekend, UAB 16.5 point underdogs to A&M. That's my sleeper pick of the weekend. Like, take that. Take UAB.
Aren't they ranked now?
UAB's 9-1, ranked 25th in the country.
Wow, that's good for Jimbo when he goes in for a contract negotiation and he pulls up his record against top 25 teams. Because they're going to.
That's a good point.
Beat the dog out of them.
LSU somehow is a 42-point favorite over Rice. So I kind of look at this weekend and kind of chalk it up, man. There's nothing real. Ole Miss. I mean, okay, Ole Miss plays Vanderbilt Saturday night, 7:30. That'd be an interesting game. Vanderbilt's got to win the last two to get to a bowl. If they don't win this game, it's over with. And that is a train wreck in Nashville right now. They are 2.5-point favorites. With Ole Miss's offense, I have no idea how they're 2.5-point favorites, but we'll just let it play out. Last night, did Lane Kiffin win last night?
I didn't know he played.
Me either.
They played last night. FAU played. You don't know if they won?
No,
idea. How do I look up a line from a game from last? Shouldn't it be on here? Why is it not on here? I was wondering if they won their game. They
lost.
Did they really?
To the Mean Green.
Oh, that's North Texas. Okay. Mm-hmm. How bad was it?
41-38. Close one.
Dang, I can't believe I fell asleep on that one.
The 8-3 North Texas Mean Green.
We get Memphis and SMU tonight. Are you excited? No.
Probably. Why does Memphis play so many games on Friday?
Because it's national TV exposure.
Well, I mean, it's like always them.
They're playing in Texas at 9 o'clock. Boise State plays New Mexico at 9 o'clock tonight.
I feel like it's very common to see Memphis on Friday.
It is.
Like, you know.
They're smart. They figured out a way around it. Okay, I'm looking at this Jamaica game. Like, okay, Brandon decided to come up with me and tell me Austin Peay is currently playing Central Connecticut State in the Jamaica Classic at Montego Bay. So I understood that, but I was also looking for, oh, my God.
I don't make the news. I just report it.
No, bro, you were right. There is no good teams. There are no good teams in this tournament.
That's what I'm saying.
Florida A&M plays Campbell later.
Yeah.
In the okay. Ohio plays South Florida.
That's not a good game.
Okay, let me see if I can.
When's the last time either one of those teams made the tournament?
Let me see if I can trick you. If I can find one that's at least decent. Hell, I can't find the other one. Oh, okay, they made up for it, brother. Loyola Marymount plays Georgetown. There's one good team in there.
God bless you, Patrick Ewing. I don't know why you stooped
because
to that
level.
Because
you get to go to Jamaica?
Stooped to that. Right? Georgetown would have been invited a bunch of other places. Vermont. I'm sure he had to turn one down in order to go there.
I'm sure they got some more, though, in line.
I agree. Vermont plays Louisville tonight. And the only reason I say that, Tennessee should play Louisville next week. If you want to check out that game, you can. It's on the ACC Network at 7 o'clock. Tennessee Tech from down the road plays North Carolina tonight in Vegas. I'm trying to find good games for you guys in college basketball, but it's kind of hard. Syracuse, Oregon, 2K Empire Classic. Syracuse with the upset last night. UConn with the upset over Syracuse last night in Madison Square Garden.
Dan Hurley.
That's all they do at Madison Square Garden is win. That's what UConn does.
Big East, man.
Can't believe they screwed it all up with the conferences. Oh, it pisses me off. Let's take a break. Christopher Smith, my bookie, coming up next. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional Fox Sports Knoxville, rolling along here, 1 o'clock hour, getting set up for a fun weekend in college football. Not a lot of noise in the SEC this weekend, so we'll branch out just a little bit into the top 25 as well. Coming up now, our man from MyBookie, really good guy, enjoy having him on. Christopher Smith joins us this afternoon. Christopher, what up, buddy?
Hey, Trey, how's it going today?
Man, I'm good, buddy. I'm hanging out. It's Friday, you know, kind of moving things along and, you know, discussing betting lines and how they play out and looking at the weekend matchups. And, you know, I want to start this thing off in Lexington, Kentucky, in a matchup that kind of intrigues me, Christopher, in a way, just because of where the line's sitting at. You got Middle Tennessee coming in with Stockstill at quarterback, and they're sitting there at 7-3 on the year, and it seems like this might be one of those games that you look at and think maybe the Blue Raiders can go into Lexington with Kentucky coming off two defeats in a row. I mean, can this type of thing happen? What would you do? Take the points sitting around 16.5, or would you take kind of the over-under here?
Yeah, I like Middle Tennessee State in this spot, especially if the line creeps up to 17 before kickoff, which it might. The one thing that you probably know if you're listening in the state of Tennessee is that Vanderbilt has owned Middle Tennessee State in recent years. So Middle Tennessee State's record against the spread and otherwise against SEC teams hasn't been good. But I think that's the factor of Derek Mason having Vanderbilt playing well early in seasons. And the fact that there's such close proximity between those two schools, Vanderbilt is always really keyed up for that game. So I don't think you should let it throw you off the scent that, that Vanderbilt has handled this team. You look at Kentucky, they have not scored more than 17 points in a football game since September 29th. And now we're expecting them to potentially lay 17 in this game. I just don't trust that you know, this offense can lay two scores or more. And also you look at Brent Stockstill. He's a guy that has more than 11,000 career passing yards. And Middle Tennessee State is a decent group of five team. And I think Kentucky will win this game, but I don't see them having a whole lot of motivation at this point in the year, having lost three out of the last five games coming in and kind of having their season tilt in the wrong direction here. So I just don't think Kentucky's offense can be trusted to beat any team by 17-plus at this point in the year.
Christopher, looking at another game, Michigan still got another test before their big test versus Ohio State. They play Indiana at home this weekend. Last season, it was Indiana was at home, and it went to overtime. Indiana's coming in 28 points underdog. Is there any chance that Indiana could – you might want to take the points with them this weekend, or Michigan, and they're doing so well, it'd be stupid and just take the Wolverines to win easy.
Yeah, sometimes the best bet you make is one that you actually don't pull the trigger on. And I think that would be this kind of game for me. Indiana got very, very lucky in beating Maryland last week. And Maryland dominated the game, and Indiana somehow ended up winning. But also, I'm not interested in betting on Indiana against Michigan because Michigan's way much better team is more than capable of beating them by 28-plus. But the problem is, it's a huge look-ahead spot for Michigan with a game at Ohio State next week. So I don't really like either side in this game. It's probably one that I'll stay away from.
When you take a look at the – popping back in a little bit to the SEC matchups, is Arkansas talent-wise, Christopher, are they 21.5-point underdogs in Mississippi State? Like, I just mean that – just talent-wise. I know how bad their season's going, but it's kind of crazy to me to think Arkansas has fallen off that far to a team like Mississippi State. I know the talent that they have on the defense and with Nick Fitzgerald, but, I mean, 21.5 points, man, how would you play that one? You think Arkansas takes care of that at home or maybe bet the over-under on that one?
Yeah, listen, I actually think from a pure talent standpoint, Mississippi State probably is three touchdowns better than this Arkansas team. You know, they have two defensive linemen that are at least on the way they play without some off-field, red flags, first-round picks. They have a safety who's probably a first- or second-round pick, a center probably like a first- or second-round pick. So this Arkansas team, I think, has the worst talent in the SEC right now, including Vanderbilt. For a lot of reasons, some due to injury, some due to just poor recruiting. This is not an SEC roster right now, but this is also a huge number. And it started out below three touchdowns. It's crept up to 21.5, as you mentioned. And Mississippi State's offense obviously they got shut out last week against Alabama. Arkansas is not Alabama. But Arkansas, despite their record, they've been playing hard. They've been getting a little bit better over the course of the season. Probably not a game that I'm going to bet on myself, but I'd probably lean a little bit to Arkansas just because Mississippi State has a revenge game coming up next week in the Egg Bowl that they actually lost last year when Nick Fitzgerald got hurt. They may be overlooking Arkansas a little bit. It's a sandwich for them between Alabama and Ole Miss. So if I had to play it, I'd probably lean to Arkansas with 21.5, but it's not something that I'm super interested in.
Looking at West Virginia. West Virginia is still trying to fight for a chance to maybe end up in the college football playoff. Hopefully some teams can slide in front of them is what they're thinking. Coming into Oklahoma State, 6-point favor. How do you like Will Grier and West Virginia's chances in this one? Oklahoma State never an easy place to play, and we know that they can score and score a lot of points against Oklahoma. You think West Virginia can do this, or would you look at the over and under and think a lot of points are going to get scored in this one?
Oh, yeah, I think a lot of points are definitely going to get scored in this one. Oklahoma State's been a very difficult team to predict this year. You know, they'll come out and destroy a pretty good Boise State team or, beat up on one of the Big Ten or Big 12 powers and keep the game really close like they did with Oklahoma. And then they'll lay a stinker. They're very tough to predict. But I do think, you know, West Virginia's defense has really impressed me this year. This game will have a lot of points in it, but that's the unit I think doesn't probably get as much credit for as well as they've played the Mountaineers this season. Their defense came into the season without a lot of depth, and they've avoided injuries. Their starting 11 is pretty good. And other than kind of a stinker game against Iowa State for them, and that was their one loss, they played a very good defense. And I know they may be looking ahead to Oklahoma a little bit next week, but I think West Virginia is just a much better football team at this point than Oklahoma State. So I think the total is 73 or maybe even north of 73.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm
going to
be betting
right
over with a total that high, but I do expect a lot of points. And I kind of like West Virginia in this game under six as a favorite of less than six.
Is that going to set up that rematch, man? Could this weekend set up that rematch where Oklahoma possibly played twice in 2 weeks? Do you think that happens, Christopher?
You know, I'd be looking at Iowa State, honestly.
Right.
I mentioned to you that Iowa State was the only team that has beaten West Virginia. And they're, you know, they need some help right now, you know. But if Oklahoma, if Iowa State keeps winning and beats Texas this weekend and wins out, and then Oklahoma beats West Virginia, Iowa State actually holds the tiebreaker in that one. So if you like Oklahoma to beat West Virginia next week, then we could definitely see an Oklahoma-Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game.
Big game Saturday afternoon in New York City. And I've been back and forth on this one, Christopher, because I think Syracuse actually has the talent to win a game like this. I just don't know if they can pull it off against Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a 10.5-point favorite in Yankee Stadium over the 12th team in the country. Is this one of those lines, man, where you need to be really sure on Notre Dame, or you just kind of, okay, let's just run with it here? What do you take? Do you take the spread, or do you take the over-under, Notre Dame versus Syracuse?
I definitely lean Syracuse in this game. I like it a lot better if you can get a plus 10.5 rather than a 10 or fewer.
Right.
You look at Notre Dame's schedule, and I know this is sort of an argument that we have all the time in college football. You know, you ain't played nobody, yada, yada. But, you know, they beat Michigan in week one. That was Shea Patterson's first game, and it was a home game for Notre Dame. And then the rest of the season, They have 4 one-possession games. They narrowly escaped a 5th one-possession game against Northwestern. And then the rest of their schedule, they've beaten teams with between 4 and 8 losses. So essentially, like, borderline 5 one-possession games. And then the other 5 games were against teams that are either not going to make a bowl game or going to have, like, 5-plus losses on the season. So you look at Syracuse, their 2 losses to Pitt and Clemson, and that Pitt loss is looking a lot better. Those losses came by a combined 11 points. Those 2 teams are probably going to win their respective divisions in the ACC. This is a strange venue. You mentioned Yankee Stadium. You know, weird place to play a football game. Dino Babers is 8-3 against the spread as an underdog away from the Carrier Dome at Syracuse. And Syracuse is also number 1 in the country in special teams per S&P Plus. So I think there's a lot of elements here that could make this a very, very close game and an uncomfortable game for Notre Dame. If you can get Syracuse where if they lost by 10, they would win you your bet, then I like that a lot more.
Christopher, just one other game that we were talking about. Looking at Iowa State, you were just talking about Iowa State, and Iowa State and Texas.
Yeah.
You like them to finish the season strong and to, I'm guessing, to take this one in Texas. No way, Texas. Any faith in Texas at home this weekend, especially with everything that's going on with Tom Herman, that they can pull this one out and kind of make their season end a little bit nicer?
Yeah, I mean, I think Tom Herman is a great place to start in this game. And I think even if you're not hardcore college football better, I think by now you've probably heard the stats of how good Tom Herman and Texas and Houston were as an underdog to this point. And as a favorite, Tom Herman teams have not done nearly as well. And you look at this team, their offense and their quarterback have been tremendous. And this is a huge difference in the Texas squads we've seen in the last decade where their defense is actually the problem. And we saw that, you know, even against Texas Tech last week. I mean, Texas has given up 34-plus in a lot of games this year. You know, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Texas Tech. And this game is not going to be any different. Ever since David Purdy took over for Iowa State, and they have one of those, you know, this game, I think it's Will Jordan Humphrey for Texas, is sort of one of those jump ball receivers. Iowa State's got their own guy, 6'6", been catching all kinds of crazy passes downfield. And Iowa State's offense, ever since Purdy took over, has been one of the best 10 or 15 in the country. Yeah, I mentioned they you know, threw all over West Virginia. They've been putting up points on everybody since he took over, and they have not lost a game since he took over as quarterback. So I do like Iowa State in this game to pull the upset, and I do think Iowa State has a very good chance to be playing in the Big 12 championship game.
Christopher, last game, buddy. Missouri comes into Knoxville. They're a 6.5-point favorite, is this a game where you think Tennessee can capitalize on their big win against Kentucky, and if they play the same way they'd be able to pull off on Saturday? Do you think Drew Lock comes in and throws the ball around and Missouri takes care of business?
Well, I have Missouri power-rated inside my top 20 right now, so definitely above Auburn and above Kentucky, which are the two teams that probably the two best teams that Tennessee has beaten this year. So I do definitely think it'll be a tough test. I mean, it is at home. It's not a game that I want to bet on, but I will say, you know, Tennessee's a 6.5-point underdog. If you like Tennessee, I would say the play would probably be on the money line for them to win outright rather than just to cover the 6.5. And I think if it's a close game at the end and Tennessee has a chance to win, I think it's probably going to be 50-50. I mean, we've seen Missouri lose some close games already this season, including the one against Kentucky. So it's not one that I'll play, but if you like the Vols here, go ahead and pick them to win outright.
That's fantastic. Christopher Smith, please tell everybody where they can follow you, buddy, to get all your great picks and information, and what's going on with MyBookie.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've heard a couple of people say this week that the only people who like this week's games are the TV stations and gamblers. But I mean, in the SEC, it's actually a great week for gamblers because there's a lot of weird lines, a lot of potential value with games that you might not otherwise be interested in. So if you're kind of sitting around waiting for the holidays to come up and kind of thinking like this weekend's games need a little bit more excitement, why not just go ahead and bet on them with MyBookie? And also, I just wanted to let your listeners know that next week for Thanksgiving, we have a special Turkey Day free play going on where essentially you can bet on the Bears-Lions game. You just pick one team and bet on them against the spread. And if you win, great, you get to keep your money. But if you lose, we'll actually refund your bet up to $250. So basically, you can make a bet up to $250 for free. Like, there's no way you can lose. If you win, you win. If you lose, we'll give you your money back. So it's a great time to join now and get ready for that if you haven't already.
Wow. Okay. Well, I know what I'll be doing on Turkey Day.
I know, right?
That's fantastic. Christopher Smith, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. I hope you have a fantastic weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Trey.
Thanks, buddy. Christopher Smith from MyBookie. Wow, that's pretty fantastic. No, I'm going to
be a fool not to. I'm going to
take that up.
Easy money. It's free money, right?
Bet 250, don't have to worry about anything. If you win.
Hey, you win. If you lose, hey, you still win.
Take me to break. That's fantastic. I need to talk with Chance about that during the break. See how we're going to play that one. It's like $125 each. Let's come out and make some money. It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville, rolling along here in this 1 o'clock hour. Hope you're having a good afternoon. We appreciate Christopher Smith joining us today. Talking bet lines this coming up weekend. We'll have to see who he gets in with college basketball. Because it's starting to wrap up a little bit. And I know a lot of people out there, man, college basketball betting would be
I'll tell you one. Take the bank tonight.
What?
Should be. What? Kansas, Louisiana Lafayette, 21. Kansas all day.
We're going to find out how Kansas matches up against a team Tennessee took to task.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I thought Louisiana Lafayette played actually pretty well.
No, they did. And Tennessee beat them by how much?
I think it was 24.
So, I mean, I think that Tennessee is in the caliber of Kansas, but I think they got a little bit more score, so it should be an easy one tonight for some people.
If Tennessee is going to beat Kansas next week, they need to do it early in the season.
Yeah.
Kansas
exactly.
is going to get good.
Exactly.
They're going to gel.
You got to kind of get them early so you can get the confidence so you can take away their confidence too. And so you kind of have, you know, like that I don't know what you want to say. Like you just kind of have that holdover maybe when you face off again against them maybe later in postseason play or something like that. But, yeah, you need to beat them early. You need to establish that. And that could – I could fuel your season if you beat Kansas.
If Tennessee goes 2-0 next week, they could easily be on the top two teams in the
country.
They'll
be top three.
Come Monday.
Top three, no doubt. And like you said, possibly top two. Top three, no doubt.
Depends on how some things shake out. I don't see Duke losing anytime. So
Duke may not lose all season.
No, somebody just be hanging out at Tennessee.
They might go undefeated.
But I think a lot of these big games coming up. I mean, you're going to catch Gonzaga at an interesting time.
And they are top three in the country still?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to get Wake Forest at home. These games are so big for Tennessee basketball. And I think it starts out next week. You got to take care of business in your opening
Brooklyn.
Game. Take care of business in your opening game. And then you get a shot on Friday to play Kansas. And, man, that's huge for the program. The last time Tennessee played Kansas was where?
2010.
It was in Fog Allen, though, right?
Yeah.
No, it was
Thompson Bowling.
Yeah, Thompson
Bowling. Scott McBee.
The upset.
Banked in a three.
Sweet T McBee. Tyler Smith
Tennessee
was on that team.
Tennessee played after that and lost on the road.
They did not.
Possibly.
Tennessee went to Kansas, to Fog Island.
When? Was it?
Tennessee played at Kansas.
It would not have been for a tournament. I can't imagine.
No, it was for a regular season
scheduled
game.
That game.
It was for a regular season game. It would have been a part of the home and home.
Hmm.
Yeah, you're my producer. Figured out.
The last one I'm picking up is the 2010 one that I'm looking right here. That would be the last time.
No. They played in 2009. January 3rd, 2009, Kansas won 92-85, Fog Allen Fieldhouse.
What did I just say?
You said last 2010.
Well, this last one. That's what Brandon just said, too,
No,
right?
I know that. I'm talking about
Yeah, like, you can't move the goalpost after we kick the ball.
You
can't
said be
like,
they haven't played Fog Allen.
No, we did not say that. You said last time that they played Kansas.
And I said 2010.
And I said, I'm pretty sure.
I stand corrected then. Okay, they beat him. Okay, they beat him in Knoxville. But
he did move the goalpost.
But I remember them going to Fog Allen.
Well, like, they did play in Fog Allen. Yes, yeah, they probably did.
I remember. I couldn't remember what year. Man, damn y'all.
Sweet T McBee. That was awesome.
I completely messed that one up. I thought y'all were just talking. Okay, that's on me.
Thought we were just talking in general.
Yeah.
Like that they had never been to
Fog Allen.
Yeah. No. I assume that they probably had been historically, but yeah, I remember last time too, like what Brandon said.
Because they should have won that game.
Because that game, Sweet T McBee, like I said, Tyler Smith and the guys, that was really cool game.
And that was the game that, didn't they have four players suspended before that game?
I know Tyler Smith was suspended.
That was the four player suspension.
He did get suspended before the game. Yeah,
they had four players out, and Ronaldo Woolbridge was balling
lit it up.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Damn. I'm good with these memories. I'm pretty. Those were probably fun times back then to go watch a basketball game. They are again, but man,
they're back though.
Oh, I know they're
fun
back.
Fun times are back.
No, I'm talking about just so many like big time teams they played at home those years.
Oh, it was just the big time those teams that came in,
out
the
of
players.
Right.
I mean, I saw the Jody Meeks game. Yeah. That was fun, even though Tennessee was on the bad end of that. I mean, that was cool too. It was a lit time back in TBA years ago.
And then they revamped it. Now it's nice. Now it can be lit and nice at the same time. Oh, my God. That place is getting close to a dump. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville.